Okay, Shvile Pinchas, Rav Pinchas Friedman, soft cover edition, Tavshin Samaches, Maimer Dalet. Okay, today we're going to talk about the mazel of Adar, which is Dagon. Every month, it's based on Sefer Yetzirah, has a mazel. I don't want to use the word horoscope, that sounds so secular. An astrological sign. Even though the Gemara says, Ein mazel Yisrael, but every month has a unique mazel, and it reveals to us wondrous things about the month. Okay, so let's start again with our Gemara that we've been darshaning the last 4 days, Tanis Chavtes Amar Alef. Mishenichnas Adar, Mar Bin Besimcha. Mishenichnas Av, Mamatin Besimcha. Mishenichnas Adar, Mar Bin Besimcha. We lessen our joy in Av, and we increase our joy in Adar. We've explained a little bit the connection between the two, and we're going to explain again the connection between the two, between Av and Adar. Okay? But we're not going to come back to that for a little while. In the Sefer Yetzirah, it tells us that the mazel for Adar is Dagon. Sefer Yetzirah is probably the earliest Kabbalistic work that we have. Okay, some even say it was written by Avram Avinu. The Sefer Yetzirah says that every month has a letter associated with it, a name of Hashem associated with it, a body part associated with it, a mazel associated. What is the mazel for Chodesh Adar? Dagon, fish. And the question is, do fish have anything to do with Purim? How do fish explain and shed light on the nature of the miracle, on first what Haman tried to do to us, how we were saved, the reacceptance of the Torah that comes with Purim, all these things are connected to fish. Okay, listen to how Rav Pinchas Friedman puts it together. First, the Medrash. The Medrash in Esther. The Medrash in Esther says that Haman, of course, he built poor who go ra'al if ne Haman. Haman cast his lots. Balo mazel dagim. When the lot landed on the month of Adar, which is the mazel of Dagim, Haman was very excited. He says, Adar ein lo zchus, u'mazlo ein lo zchus. Adar has no merit, and fish have no merit. It's gavaldik. This is a good sign I'll be able to destroy the Jewish people. And he said more than that. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish leader, died in Adar. Gavaldik. Haman says, this is great. And even more than that, just like a fish swallows another fish, the Medrash in Esther, just like a fish swallows another fish, Haman says, I'm going to swallow up the juice. Concludes the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Haman, so to speak, Rasha. Sometimes a fish swallows, and sometimes a fish gets swallowed, and you're going to get swallowed, Haman. That's the Medrash. So again, the lottery fell out in Adar. Haman said, Chodesh Adar, there's no schus in Adar. Adar has no schus. Fish have no schus. Moshe Rabbeinu dies in Adar, I'm going to swallow them up like a fish. And Hashem says, you don't know what you're talking about. You're going to be swallowed up like a fish. And you don't understand the secret, the kedusha of the fish, which we'll learn today. Yeah?
How does Haman know what's written in the Kabbalah?
Well, the same way that the New York Times in the horoscope section knows that Adar is Pisces. Where do they get it from? How do they know it's fish? Right? So it's a good question. It's a good question. Bechlal, you know, when we talk about these Rishonim having all this knowledge, was someone really such a Talmud Chacham? Did he learn Sefer Yetzirah? Right? Is there also a secular corresponding Zelu Mazeh version of the Mazalos? It's a good question. It's a very good question. Not really sure how to answer it. Okay, so Haman's told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to be swallowed up by a much bigger fish called Klal Yisrael. So the question is, what's the Indian of the fish? We need to understand, what is the Indian of the fish? Why is Haman so excited about that? Why does Moshe's death occurring in Adar also make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy? And why did Moshe die in Adar? It's not random that Moshe died in Adar. Why didn't Moshe die in Nisan? It's also deeply connected to this whole sugya of the fish. So let's go back to a pasuk at the end of Chumash Bereishis. What was the bracha of Ephraim and Manasseh? V'yidgu larov bekarev haaretz. What's v'yidgu? Vav yud dalet gimel vav v'yidgu fish. Rashi says, you'll be like fish. Just like fish are parim v'ravim, v'ein ayin harash sholetis behem. Just like fish produce so many children, and because they're below the surface, the ayin hara doesn't affect them, so too Klal Yisrael. Ephraim and Manasseh, you'll be blessed that you'll become a great nation. Klal Yisrael will flourish. Many children will be protected from ayin hara. Ayin hara is also a big inyan. Ayin hara and ayin tov is also a big parim inyan, not for now. Okay? But it says of Pinchas Friedman, but there's another medrash about why a Jew is compared to a fish, and we mentioned it the other day. Yeah?
You say that you just said the water.
The fish tank.
No.
Fish yeah, tank. We're getting to the fish tank.
Fish tank is fish tank. But as a side, you have another one. You said that the fish is attracted to my heart because he's deep below the water.
Right.
According to what? He's deep inside the Torah. So he's attracted to my heart.
Correct. Okay, so we're gonna find out how deep fish are connected to the Torah. That's correct. That's 100% correct. He quotes the Medrash. Another reason we're compared to fish. And we mentioned this Medrash recently. It's one of my favorite Midrashim. Just like fish live in water, they're born in water, they grow up in water, their whole life is water. And yet when a drop of rain comes down, what do the fish do? They go up to the surface to catch that drop of water. So too, Jewish people, whose whole life is the Mayim of Torah, in Mayim el Torah, in my mouth, water is Torah. The Jewish people, our whole life is Torah. And yet, when we hear a chiddush, a new insight in Torah, davar chadash min haTorah, we're mekabel it, says the Medrash, with great thirst, as if we've never experienced water in our life. Like a fish who lives in water and yet rises up to take another drop of water, so too the Jewish people live in the water of Torah, and yet we're excited for a new idea in Torah. So you see that the idea of the fish is somehow connected to a longing and a thirsting for more mayim, for more Torah. The fish has a deep connection to Torah. We're just getting started. We'll see much more. But this Medrash highlights, again, what we've seen so far is the following. That Adar, the mazel of Adar, based on Sefer Yetzirah, is the fish. Haman was partially excited when the lottery landed on Adar because he recognized the fish has no schus, which is totally wrong. Totally, totally wrong. And then we have Klal Yisrael being compared to the fish in the bracha of Menashe and Ephraim. Rashi's explanation, and then the Medrash's explanation, that we're thirsty for Torah, even though we live in the water. Another example of the connection between fish and Torah, and the relationship between the two. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Avodah Zarah, Gimel Amud Beis tells us, V'ta'ase Adam k'digei hayan, the pasuk in Chabakuk, man is like a fish, says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Lama nimshlu b'nei Adam k'digei hayan, why are people compared to fish? Answers the Gemara, just like fish, when they come out of the water, die. So too, a person who disconnects himself from the water of Torah is as good as dead. A Jew has to be like a fish. He's got to stay in the water. A fish can't live without water. A Yid can't live without Torah. Of course, this Gemara in Avodah Zarah reminds us of a more famous Gemara in Maseches Brachos. What's the more famous Gemara in Maseches Brachos in Daf Samach Aleph? That Rabbi Akiva was continuing to teach Torah even in the face of Roman prosecution and eventually execution. And Rabbi Akiva famously told the mashal of the fox who told the fish, come onto the dry land. If you stay in the water, you might be caught by a fisherman. He's going to catch you with his net. So what does Rabbi Akiva, what does the fish say back? In the water, it's dangerous. But out of the water, for a fish, it's more dangerous. In the water, maybe I'll get caught, maybe I won't. Out of the water, I'm for sure dead. So Rabbi Akiva understood that a Jew outside of Torah is for sure dead. I'd rather teach Torah and risk being killed by the Romans, which unfortunately Hashem should avenge his blood, he was. Rabbi Akiva was murdered, Al Kiddush Hashem. But he said, I'd rather continue to swim in the waters of Torah, and hopefully I'll be at least alive with Torah, than to come out of the water of Torah, to abandon Torah, and to give up my life completely. So again, the model of a person who is deeply connected to Torah is the fish. The Medrash in Vayechi, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel, and the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Daf Samach Aleph and Beis. Okay? When does a Jew eat fish? Well, if he goes to Wayu, whenever they serve it in the calf. Right? But when do tzaddikim eat fish? Shabbos. Right? And even a person who eats fish during the week, there's a big Indian to eat fish on Shabbos. There's a very big Indian to eat fish on Shabbos. By some tzaddikim, it's a very, very big Indian. So much so that I told you that the Satmar Rebbe, the Stuchina Rebbe said, the Satmar Rebbe was able to disguise himself as a typical Hungarian posek and rav, not like a rebbe, except for two things. When he put on his tefillin, he was like the Berdichever, bouncing off the walls. And also, the Islavas, when he ate the fish on Shabbos. Oyum v'nora. Totally beyond. Big Indian by tzaddikim. What's the idea of eating fish on Shabbos? So a fish represent, like we've been explaining, a very deep connection to Torah. What is the day of the week that's kula l'Hashem, the day that was given to us to fully immerse ourselves in Torah? Says the Medrash, quoted by the Tur in Or HaChaim Siman Reish Sadi, the Tur in chapter 290 in Arba Turim. Amra Torah l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah comes to Hashem and says, what's going to be with me? Jews are going to be working in their law firms. Jews are going to be working in their offices. Jews are going to be too busy for me. When are Jews going to connect the Torah? The Torah has a taina on Hashem. Says the Medrash, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, back to the Torah, don't worry, I have a partner for you, Torah. I have a partner for you. Who's the partner of Torah? Shabbos. Shabbos is the partner of Torah. And therefore, if fish represent Torah, a person who's thirsting for Torah, and Shabbos is the day that a Jew takes a break from all of his emails to immerse himself in Torah, he doesn't quote the Yerushalmi here. But the Yerushalmi in Masechet Shabbos, in the 15th parak, says the whole reason God gave us Shabbos is what? To be Osek B'Torah. That's why we have Shabbos. So it makes sense that what's the food that's most outstanding on Shabbos? Not chillin, it's fish. It's the Shabbos fish. Because the fish represents, again, that deep connection to the water of Torah. And how a Jew can't live without Torah. What day was the Torah given? What does the Gemara say? It's machlokas what the calendar date was, but everyone knows what day of the week it was. What day of the week was the Torah given? Everyone agrees, the Gemara says in Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, on Daf Pei Vav, says that everyone agrees that what? That the Torah was given on Shabbos. Everyone agrees to that. So Shabbos is a day of Torah, and therefore the tzaddikim, of course, have the practice to make sure to eat fish at every meal on Shabbos. Fish represent Torah. Shabbos is the partner of Torah. It makes sense that a Yid should eat fish on Shabbos. Okay? Now, how does all of this bring us back to Chodesh Adar? So what... Sorry, Chav, I'm not feeling great. What changed in our relationship with Torah and Adar? How did we originally accept the Torah? And what changed after Purim? So you know the answer. The Gemara says that originally, how did we accept the Torah? Kafa aleihem har kegigis. We got forced into the Torah. Hashem put a mountain over our head and said, take the Torah or else. So originally we had a little bit of an awkward relationship with Torah. But the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Pei Chesam and Aleph tells us that after Purim, we were so in love with Hashem that the Jewish people decided to re-accept the Torah. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. The Jewish people, kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, the Jewish people on Purim, re-accepted the Torah out of love. Originally, we accepted the Torah out of fear. Take the Torah, I'm going to drop the mountain on your head. But after Purim, we felt so wildly in love with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that we re-accepted the Torah. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, they re-accepted the Torah out of love. Rashi famously says, Shabbos Pechesim and Aleph, Kimu v'kiblu, me'ahavas ha'neis shenas elahem. Me'ahavas ha'neis shenas elahem. Because of the great love that they felt from the miracle that happened to them, the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah out of love. Okay? That was the relationship with Torah after Purim. So the question is, how did the Jewish people know, right? Meaning it's kind of a strange thing, like they got together, Klal Yisrael got together, Mordechai and Esther got everyone together, they gathered the men and the women, they said, okay, everyone, on 1, 2, 3, we're going to say Nasa v'Nishma, and this time we're really going to mean it. Right? What does it mean to re-accept the Torah out of love? Where did they get the idea that that was an appropriate thing to do? The Gemara says it was a binding commitment that they made. The Gemara says an interesting thing. The Gemara says prior to Purim, any Jew who died prior to Purim, after Kabbalah Satorah, and before the Purim story, if you died, and you went up to the Olam Emes, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, let's see how you did with Torah. Let's see if you were a good Jew. The Gemara says, you know what you could say to Hashem? If you're a bad Jew, if you didn't do so well, you can say, listen, God, I didn't want the Torah. You forced me into it. The Gemara says the Jewish people prior to Purim had a very good excuse to explain our misbehavior. From Purim and on, sorry, Chevra, we gotta step up. After Purim, there's no more excuses. You know why? Because from Purim forward, we re-accepted the Torah out of love. We can't claim we were forced into it anymore. We wanted it. We really wanted it. So the question is, how did Klal Yisrael know that everything that happened, Haman trying to kill them, and then them being saved, how did they know that they were supposed to re-accept the Torah? And you know what the answer is? The answer is the Jewish people said to themselves, why did Hashem save us in Adar? Why were we saved in Adar? Why did this whole story happen in Adar? And then they started to realize, they picked up their Sefer Yetzirah, and they said, Adar is fish. What do we know about fish? So they opened up the Torah. And they saw V'yidgu l'rov, v'karav haaretz. We have to be thirsty for Torah like a fish. We have plenty of water, but we want more. Because we're excited about it. Right? And they started thinking about the relationship between Shabbos and fish, and loving Torah, and wanting Torah, and choosing Torah. And therefore the Jewish people came to the conclusion, the reason that this miracle happened in Adar is because Hashem wants us to renew our commitment to Torah. Hashem wants us to be more like fish. Haman thinks the fish, nah, the fish is below the surface. The fish has no schus. Right? But the truth of the matter is the fish teaches us an unbelievable lesson. The thirstiness for more and more Torah, for more and more water of Torah. And therefore the Jewish people on their own recognize from the fact that it's Chodesh Adar, it must be that this is an opportunity for us to get really committed to Torah. Thirsty for Torah, like a fish who's thirsty for water, even though he lives in water. His whole life is water. The Jews practice Torah, but they re-accepted and recommitted themselves to Torah. Me'ahavas hanes, a different relationship with Torah. This explains why Moshe Rabbeinu had to be born in Chodesh Adar. Of course Moshe has to be born in Adar. What other month can Moshe possibly be born in? Right? Adar is the zman of a person who loves the Torah. Oh, I'm just realizing now, I'll tell you a great part that I heard from Rav Shechter. Anyone have a Gemara Megillah, full Gemara Megillah here? No, don't get it. I'll say it outside. It's going to take a couple minutes to say this part, but it's Kedai. Does it have stuff in the back? Has Mepharshim or no? And I know it's Mepharshim in the back. Okay, I'll say it outside. I remember when I was in YU, I didn't stay in many times for Shabbos. I remember I stayed in one time for Shabbos, and Rav Shechter said this part, and it blew my mind. It was one of the probably coolest things I ever heard in Torah at the time. The Gemara says, can you get the Gemara? It's better with the Gemara. Okay, well, let's keep going for a second. I'll tell it to you in a second. It's better if you see it inside. Okay, so why is Moshe Rabbeinu, why does it have to be that Moshe Rabbeinu is born in Adar? Because Moshe is the biggest fish ever. Moshe wasn't forced into Kabbalah's Torah. Klal Yisrael, as you'll see in a second, I'll share with you this part. Klal Yisrael got forced into accepting the Torah. Right? Moshe, who always loved the Torah, Moshe went up to the heavens and he didn't eat and he didn't drink. The end of this week's parasha, Moshe was not interested in saying no to the Torah. When the Jewish people were under the mountain, you could say that Moshe Rabbeinu was on top of the mountain. They were getting forced into the Torah. They were at the foot of the mountain. They were surrounded by the pressure to accept the Torah. Moshe wasn't pressured into accepting the Torah. Moshe chose the Torah. He wanted the Torah, right? And that's why. What do we know about Moshe? Where does he come from? He was called Moshe. Why is he called Moshe? Minamayim Mishisiyu. His whole existence is drawn from water. Minamayim Mishisiyu. It doesn't mean he's taken out of water. I mean, he was. That's the Pashup shot, obviously. But it means he draws his life from water. His name, the definition of his name is defined. Thank you so much. His name, his essence is water. Minamayim Mishisiyu. His whole world is water. If Moshe was born on Zayin Adar, let's make a simple calculation. When was Moshe put into that water? Who knows? The Torah says. It was 3 months later. Right? If he was born on Zayin Adar, and it says that she hid him for 3 months, yeah? Some months have 29 days, some months have 30 days. That means 3 months later, when Moshe was put into that basket in the water, when he would become Moshe Menamayim Mishisiyu, it wasn't just Sivan, it was Vav Sivan. The Malbim works it out. He quotes it, he doesn't quote the Malbim. But he says it's clear that Bidyuk, Bishisha B'Sivan, on the 6th of Sivan, the day the Jewish people got the Torah, that's when Moshe is in the water. Because his whole life is water. He's born in Adar. He enters the water in Sivan. Moshe, from the beginning of his life, was already in the water, so to speak. Yeah. Like who the Maisa Ora, when the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah, they got light. When did Moshe get the light? He's born, the house fills up with light. He's a Purim baby. Mamash a Purim Dikiyit, Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, now listen to this part. Let's take a pause for a second. It could take a couple extra minutes, but it's worth it. I promise you it's worth it. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara is trying to prove how do we know that Esther, Megillah's Esther, was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Okay? This part's not in the Shvilei Pinchas, but it's Kedai to take this pause for a minute. How do you know that Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh? Doesn't have God's name in it even once. How do we know that Megillah Esther is a holy book? There's the discussion. The Gemara wasn't sure. Should Esther be part of Tanakh or not? So the Gemara is trying to prove from Tanayim and Amoraim, how do you know that Megillah Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh? Which words in Megillah Esther are Ruach HaKodesh? And the Gemara is going back and forth trying to figure out what's the source. Finally, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Lekulu Islahu Pircha. I'm not going to go through all the examples the Gemara gives. The Gemara tried different psukim to try to prove how we know it was written with Ruach HaKodesh. It says what Haman was thinking. How can we know what Haman was thinking? It says the Jews didn't steal anything. How do we know that no one took something in their pocket? Things that couldn't be known without Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Lekulu Islahu Pircha, Levar Midishmua, Delesle Pircha. All of the proofs that were given, I could ask a question on, with the exception of Shmuel. Shmuel is the only one whose proof stands. What was Shmuel's proof? Shmuel says, Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu lamala, masha kiblu lamata. How do you know that Megillah was written with Ruach HaKodesh? Because Kimu v'kiblu. It was accepted above what they wrote below. In other words, God signed off on the Megillah. God said, this is a holy work. Kimu lamala, in the heavens it was accepted, masha kiblu lamata, what they wrote down here below. So Rava says, Shmuel has the best interpretation, that the words kimu v'kiblu prove that the Megillah was written with Ruach HaKodesh, that God signed off on the Megillah. Says Tosvos, Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, how could you tell me that there's no question on Shmuel? Kimu v'kiblu, hold on a second. Kimu v'kiblu is already used for something. What does Kimu v'kiblu teach us? Shabbos Peches, we just learned it. Kimu v'kiblu means they re-accepted the Torah. The Jewish people re-accepted the Torah. So which is it? Is Kimu v'kiblu that in Shemayim they accepted the Megillah? Or is Kimu v'kiblu teach us that what? That the Jewish people accepted the Torah? And by the way, you know who the person in Maseches Shabbos is who says Kimu v'kiblu, the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah? It's the same Rava over here who says, everyone I can ask a question on except for Shmuel. Shmuel's Pshat and Kimu v'kiblu, that's a proof that the Megillah is written with Ruach HaKodesh. Rava, you yourself in Maseches Shabbos say a different Pshat and Kimu v'kiblu. So you can't learn two things from one phrase. So which is it? Does Kimu v'kiblu teach us the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah, like the Gemara in Shabbos? Or does Kimu v'kiblu teach us that in Shemayim they signed off on the Megillah, proving that it's written with Ruach HaKodesh? Everyone understand the question? Tosfos' question. Okay? Here's the Vilna Gaon's answer. Ready for this? If you look in the back of the Gemara, if you look in the commentary of the Cheshek Shlomo, he quotes the Vilna Gaon, who has a brilliant answer to this Gemara, to this question of Tosfos. I know it's not Tuesday, but we can still quote the Vilna Gaon. It's still mutter. Okay? Have to find it for a second. Yeah. The Cheshek Shlomo in the back of the Gemara. Again, I heard this from Shechter probably 15 years ago. Cheshek Shlomo quotes the Gra. Vishamati mikvar b'shem ha-Gra zatzal. I heard the following pshat from the Gra. And again, the Vilna Gaon teaches us anything, it's pay close attention when you're learning Torah. You have to look carefully when you're learning Torah. The Gemara says over here, when we're darshaning Kimu v'kiblu, the Gemara says, Shene'emar Kimu v'kiblu. You know what the Gemara in Shabbos says when it darshans Kimu v'kiblu? Dichsiv Kimu v'kiblu. Shene'emar Kimu v'kiblu. That in Shemayim they accepted the Megillah. In Maseches Shabbos, Dichsiv, it's written, Kimu v'kiblu. That what? That the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah. So the Vilna Gaon says, why does it say Shene Amar in Maseches Megillah and Dichtiv in Maseches Shabbos? Because if you ever looked inside a Megillah, the words Kimu v'kiblu are Kri and Ksiv. It's pronounced one way, and it's written a different way. How is it actually written in the Megillah? You may not know, because you always hear the person says, Kimu v'kiblu. How is it actually written? Kimu v'kibel. Open up a Megillah's Esther. At the end of the Megillah, it doesn't say Kimu v'kiblu. It's written, the ksiv, the way it's written is what? Kimu v'kibel. How is it pronounced when the Baal Kori reads the Megillah? Kimu v'kiblu. So the Gra says, why are we allowed to learn two things from this one phrase? Because one is shene'emar, one is the way that it's said, and one is dichtiv, the way that it's written. Unbelievable. So let's learn them now. Right? In Maseches Megillah, it says Shneh. Let's do the Shabbos first, because that's where we're coming from. In Maseches Shabbos, what does it say? Again, Kimu v'kiblu in Maseches Shabbos means what? That the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah. Dichtiv, as it's written. So how is it actually written?
Kibel.
Kimu v'kibel. What does that mean? Why is it singular?
Each person.
Who was the one person who originally wasn't forced into it?
Moshe.
Moshe's on top of the mountain. The Jewish people are under the mountain. So kimu v'kibel, the Jewish people re-accepted what Moshe originally was kibel, that Moshe originally accepted. Moshe is the fish. That's what we're learning. Moshe's Adar. Moshe loves Torah. Klal Yisrael are nervous about it. They're a bunch of slaves. They're just on Mitzrayim. So Klal Yisrael need to get forced into it. So based on the way that it's written in the Pasuk, Kimu v'kibel, they re-accepted what Moshe Rabbeinu had previously accepted. That's the ksiv. That's how it's written. What does the Gemara in Megillah say? Gemara in Megillah says, Shene'emar. Shene'emar. Ah, Shene'emar means the way that it's pronounced. How are the words pronounced? Kimu v'kiblu. So says Shmuel. I can say a different pshat on the Shene'emar than the Dichsiv. It's written one way, it teaches me one thing. It's pronounced another way. Kimu v'kiblu, says Shmuel. Kimu l'mala, masha kiblu l'mata. That they signed off on the Megillah and Shemayim. Only the Vilna Gaon would notice a Shene'emar versus a Dichtiv. And realize that it's based on the Pasuk being a Kri and a Ksiv, and being able to darshan two things. Again, take a look at it inside. Cheshek Shlomo, Mesachas Megillah, Dav Zayin, Amar Aleph. Look in the back of the Gemara, you'll see it inside. It's Kedai to get it down. It's a Gval de Gvar.
Why is it plural in terms of Shemayim?
That's a good question. Based in Shalmala. The Gemara uses the Lashon of three things the based in Shalmala signed off on. So, based in Shalmala presumably is an angelic court. Many angels, I don't know. It's not just Hashem. The whole based in heavens. Okay? So what you see from this Vart, though, again, is Moshe was never forced into Torah. Moshe was always the Kibel. He was on top of the mountain. He always wanted Torah. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is born in Adar. Moshe Rabbeinu is in the water on Vav Sivan. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is deeply connected, his connection to Torah is deeply connected to the Purim story. Okay? Let's keep going. That's why, by the way, the Gemara in Maseches Chulin says, where is there a hint to Mordechai in the Torah? Where is there a hint to Esther in the Torah? Where is there a hint to Haman in the Torah? Where is there a hint to Moshe in the Torah? I got the first three. Mordechai in the Torah, Esther in the Torah, Haman in the Torah. They're not in the Torah. It's good to find a hint. Why do I need a hint to Moshe in the Torah? But the answer is, where is there a hint that Moshe is deeply connected to the Purim story? Moshe Rabbeinu is deeply connected to what's happening with Mordechai, Esther, and Haman. Okay? So let's keep going. Why is the Yom Tov called Purim? A question, here he quotes the Bnei Yisachar is asking this question. I can tell you the Sfas Emes, one of the first pieces on Purim, also asked the question. Why would you call the Yom Tov based on the thing that was trying to kill us? Pesach. Right? Pesach is called Pesach as Hashem skipped over our houses. Sukkos. Sukkos is called Sukkos because Hashem protected us with huts in the Midbar. Why would I call the commemoration of Purim lotteries? It's very strange. That was the source of destruction. Yeah. Why would you name the Yom Tov after the thing that almost killed you? Very strange, no? The poor was the weapon of Haman to destroy the Jewish people. Why call the Yom Tov Purim? So he explains as follows. And this I never know. If you look at the Pasuk doesn't say that Haman was the one who actually cast the lot. Who cast the lots? You know what the Pasuk says? He built poor, hu hagoral, lifnei Haman. Some anonymous person, not stated, he built poor, he cast the lot, hu hagoral, if you don't know what poor means in Persian, it means goral, it means lottery, it means lots, lifnei Haman, in front of Haman. Who did this? Who is actually spinning the wheel, so to speak, to see what month it's going to land on? Doesn't say. So he says, you know who's casting the lots? Rav Pinchas Friedman says, the Zohar tells us that whenever something happens in Tanakh, and it doesn't say who did it, it's Hashem. Whenever something happens in a pasuk, and you say, wait a minute, it says he did something. Who's he? It doesn't say who he is. Whenever there's an anonymous he in the Torah, someone doing something, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ki b'chol makum shekasav b'Torah davar shenasa, v'lo kasav mi asa, it doesn't say who did it. So for example, and he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara tells us, who did it? Hashem did it. So whenever there's an anonymous voice in the Torah or the Tanakh, it's Hashem. So you know who is casting the lots? You know who is really spinning the wheel? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who was spinning the wheel, lifnei Haman. Haman's so excited. Adar, Moshe dies in Adar. Fish don't seem to have much schus. He doesn't know the first thing about Moshe Rabbeinu. He doesn't know Moshe was born in Adar. He doesn't know that Moshe lives on for all generations because Torah lives on for all generations. Haman doesn't understand that fish are thirsty for Torah. And Haman, you're going to cause a revolution in Torah. The Jewish people are going to come back to Torah stronger than ever because of you. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu really working behind the scenes to bring about the miracle, and that's why it's called Purim. Why name it after Haman? Haman cast a lot to destroy. Nah, Hashem was spinning the lots. It's the Yad Hashem behind the scenes that we're celebrating. And that's why we call it Purim. So, Chaver, now let's come back and we'll wrap up in 2 more minutes. What did we start with? We started with the question, what's the relationship between Tisha B'Av and Purim? What's the connection between Chodesh Av and Chodesh Adar? What is the sadness of Av? And what is the celebration of Adar? And the answer is Torah. The happiness of Adar, the month of the fish, Shabbos, a time for eating fish, time for learning Torah, Kabbalah Satorah, Moshe Rabbeinu born in Adar, fish thirsty for more and more Torah, the reacceptance of the Torah, all of those themes that we've developed, right? All of this is the celebration of Adar. Adar is a celebration of Torah, of Kabbalah Satorah. What is the sadness of Chodesh Av? Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Why don't we learn Torah on Tisha B'Av? And the answer is because the Chorban, as well as the Gemara pointing out other things, but one of the main reasons for the Chorban is a failure to properly study Torah. And that's why on Tisha B'Av Hashem takes away the Torah from us. You will not learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says in Tanis Daf Lamed, Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Misam Chilev, Torah makes us happy. Guess what? Tisha B'Av, no one's learning Torah. There will be no Torah on Tisha B'Av. You know why? Because the Chorban came about because of a lack of appreciation for Torah. Who knows what I'm talking about? Where do Chazal say that the Chorban was caused by a failure to properly appreciate and be involved in Torah? The Gemara in Nedarim, Pei Aleph. I know most people haven't learned Nedarim, but you've heard this Gemara before. The Gemara says, they're trying to figure out why did the Chorban happen? No one can come up with an answer until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, I'll tell you why. Shelo birchu b'Torah tchila. They didn't recite Birchas HaTorah. You know why the Chorban happened? Because Jews didn't say Birchas HaTorah. There's like 20 Pshatim, at least, in this. Someone once sent me a whole list of Pshatim, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. Why? What did it mean, Shalom Birchu B'Torah Tchila? They didn't say Birchas HaTorah in the morning. What does that mean? So we have a last step for today. If you look in the Taz in Simon Mem Zayin, which is the laws of Birchas HaTorah, the Taz explains this Gemara to us. What does it mean, Shalom Birchu B'Torah Tchila? What does it mean to really learn Torah? Like we learned the Kedushas Levi today. You got to be fire. You got to be on fire for Torah. Says the Taz, the Gemara tells us in Brachos, that if you want real Torah, Adam Ki Yamus Ba'ol, you got to kill yourself over Torah. It means you got to go all in. You got to swim in the Torah like a fish. Ein Torah, Ein Divrei Torah Miskayimin El B'Misha Meimis Atzmo Aleh. You got to kill yourself over Torah. It means you got to get really into it. Says the Taz, what does it mean they didn't say Birchas HaTorah? What is the bracha, at least for Ashkenazim, of Birchas HaTorah? La'asok b'divrei Torah. La'asok b'divrei Torah. What does that mean, la'asok? What does it mean, la'asok? La'asok b'divrei Torah means what? To immerse yourself in Torah. Amelus b'Torah, says the Taz. Pilpul, learning shtark, working hard in Torah. Meimis atzmo aleh. And you know how the Jews felt in the time of the Chorban? They learned Torah. But they weren't osek b'Torah. They weren't swimming in Torah. Osek means asek, it's their business. The same way a person who's got money in the stock market is thinking about it all the time, he's checking it to see how it's doing. It's his business, he's always checking his accounts. If Torah is your business, then you're osek in it, you're constantly busy with it. And that's what it means, that the Jews were lo birchu b'Torah tchila. And therefore, if Chorban Beis HaMikdash comes from what? From a lackadaisical approach to Torah, and therefore the sadness of Chodesh Av is a disconnect from Torah, no learning on Tisha B'Av. So what is the Simcha of Adar? The Simcha of Adar is that a Yid becomes like a fish. That you're swimming in the waters of Torah, Klal Yisrael kimu v'kiblu, re-accepting the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, born in Adar. The Torah being given to us on Shabbos, which is the time when we eat fish, which is the mazel of Adar. So you see, says Rav Pinchas Friedman, that Av and Adar are opposites. Av is a time where a Jew loses his connection to Torah because of his own laziness in Torah. And Adar is a time when a Jew understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was spinning the lotteries. Hipil Por Hu Agoral. Hashem was doing Hipil Por Hu Agoral lifnei Haman, in front of Haman. And Hashem was trying to hint to us, oh, there's a good chance for you to start fresh. Not Kafaleim Harkigigis, right? But Kimu V'Kiblu, with an excitement. Me'avas Hanesh. Again, the Lashon of Rashi. So Mirtz Hashem, as we approach Chodesh Adar, so much for Chodesh, we should try to become fish. We should mamish swim in the ocean of Torah. Right? Not like the fish tank. Like Elliot Fuchs's pshat from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Not to be little boxed in fish in the fish tank, but to be Jews who mamish swim in the Torah. So this Shabbos, make sure. You're going for Shabbos, make sure you have fish, make sure you learn a lot of Torah, make sure you learn a lot of Torah ba'ava, and then Amir Tzashem. We'll be zochot to see Nisim and Eflaus, and Yeshuas and Brachos, like Klal Yisrael saw in the time of Purim. Shkoyach. Yes.